This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good evening, I'm David Gale and welcome to The Informer. Tonight I'm joined by Paul McClure. On tonight's Informer we have the Honourable Terry Butler from the Labor Party to talk about the decision by the caucus today, the Labor caucus, to block the government's same-sex marriage plebiscite. Then we'll be talking to Liberal Senator Eric Abetz about what this means for the campaign for marriage equality, and we're joined in the studio by Tim Peppard, one of the directors of Australian Marriage Equality. In light of the decision that was made by the ALP caucus today about blocking the plebiscite, the marriage equality plebiscite, we got a chance to talk to Ms. Terry Butler. She's the Shadow Assistant Minister for Equality. It was between divisions in the House, so we just did a quick pre-record before, and this is what we heard. Okay, and joining us on the line for The Informer, we have Terry Butler, member of the House of Reps for the Labor Party. How are you, Terry?
Very well. Thanks very much for having me.
No, thank you for being on the line with us. What does this decision made by the Labor caucus today mean for the marriage equality plebiscite?
Well, the Labor caucus very much supports marriage equality, and in fact we made it an election commitment that if we were elected to government, we would pass marriage equality within the first 100 days of the new government, which actually, by the way, was yesterday, that 100-day mark. So we would already have had marriage equality had we been elected. Unfortunately, we weren't, and so we're presented with this situation where the Turnbull government wanted to put up an obstacle in the way of marriage equality that had been dreamed up by its opponents, by marriage equality's opponents, a year ago, and that's this plebiscite. Now, we think it's divisive, we think it's harmful, we think it's wasteful, and we think it's unnecessary. So today at our caucus, we unanimously decided on Bill Shorten's recommendation, supported by the Shadow Attorney-General and by me, that we would not vote in favour of Malcolm Turnbull's plebiscite bill.
If the bill is passed by the lower house, is there a chance of it succeeding in the upper house?
Look, I think that we have to wait and see, but we have indicated that we'll vote against it. The Xenophon team say they'll vote against it. The Greens say they'll vote against it. I think it's very unlikely that the government will be able to pass the bill through the Senate. And I think that that's a very good thing because the plebiscite's a terrible idea and we're very pleased to be voting against it.
It's funny because I saw Rodney Croom at the Equal Love rally here in Melbourne last weekend, and he was saying, also on Four Corners last night, he was just saying he won't be happy until it gets as far as the upper house and gets defeated as well. Look, there has been some leadership displayed today, something that some people would say is lacking by the Prime Minister. What took so long for this decision to be made?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's a real shame. So the government first came up with this plebiscite idea in August 2015, and sorry about the bells you can hear, I'll keep talking while I walk off to the next division.
Yeah.
They came up with this idea in August 2015, but it wasn't until towards the end of the last sitting week, the one we most recently had, that the bill was actually published and tabled in the Parliament. So we hadn't seen it before it was tabled in the Parliament. Unfortunately, the government took, as I said, a year to come up with just the bill for the plebiscite. By that point, we hadn't even seen the substantive marriage bill that they wanted to try to take forward after a plebiscite. And they tabled it after our caucus had already met. So we said we would do what we always do with legislation, which is take it through our internal processes, give it due consideration, and consider it at the next meeting of the caucus, which was this morning's meeting. So we considered it at the next meeting of the caucus, and the caucus unanimously decided not to back it. In that period, between the bill being tabled and our caucus meeting again, we took the opportunity to consult, to hear from stakeholders, to speak to both people in favour of the plebiscite and people against it, We heard from all sorts of people, from rainbow families, from people in the AIDS councils, from people who are concerned about the impact on older gay and lesbian people who might find it more difficult to come out if there was a national debate in relation to marriage equality. And we also talked to experts in mental health. You would have heard that the Australian of the Year, a former Australian of the Year, Patrick McGorry, expressed serious concerns and reservations about the plebiscite. So we spoke to a range of people, that really supported the view that the plebiscite was a terrible idea. So I am very pleased that we unanimously decided today to vote against it.
So are we.
Just as 2 out of 3 Australians are coming to that conclusion as well. Look, I know you're running out of time because you've got to get back into the House. We expect groups to keep the pressure on the government to have a bill passed to allow same-sex marriage and a free vote on that, as they've stated, you know, they've sort of said that the public has given them a mandate to proceed down this path. I mean, losing 15 seats is not really a mandate as far as we're concerned. But is there a plan B from Labor's perspective?
Well, there's a plan A, which is pass marriage equality through the Parliament. I mean, the plebiscite was the government's crazy plan B when they were, dreaming up ways to present an obstacle to marriage equality, of course. We support marriage equality. We have a bill before the Parliament right now for marriage equality. The only obstacle, the only impediment to that bill being passed is that Malcolm Turnbull is refusing to show the leadership that he should show and allow it to be voted upon in the Parliament and allow a free vote on that bill. The minute that happens, we will have marriage equality. The minute we have a free vote in the Parliament on marriage equality, we will have it.
Yeah, we know that there's lobbyists that are talking to certain people within the government ranks.
I'm really sorry.
Thank you so much for talking tonight, Terry, on The Informer, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thanks very much.
Bye. Okay, that was Shadow Assistant Minister for Equality, Ms. Terry Butler. I'm joined in the studio with one of the directors of Australian Marriage Equality, Tim Peppard, who has just finished the Taste of Radio course here at Joy 94.9. You know, we don't mess around. We get people straight in.
Hi, David. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Welcome to the station.
Welcome. Thank you.
Look, the decision today was sort of pretty well preempted, but is it the decision that people like Australian Marriage Equality were looking for?
Well, the terms for the plebiscite, as offered by the Attorney General, were onerous, and we did not want that those terms to proceed, and so the plebiscite in that form was not acceptable to Australian Marriage Equality and a wide-ranging group of LGBTI groups, and we've been in broad consultation with these groups and we're involved with the meetings, the video teleconference meetings with both the Attorney General last week and the Shadow Attorney General last week, and the message was consistent that the terms of the plebiscite were wrong, as well as the total concept of the plebiscite. So we are pleased that Labor caucus today has unanimously decided to vote as a bloc against the plebiscite, and that's a good first step.
Yeah, look, it's interesting that you should mention about, you know, teleconferencing and other things, because Terry Butler was talking about how the Labor Party had consulted with groups as well, which
is,
you know, fantastic to be able to make the decision. If anybody was watching Four Corners last night, they would have seen some of those sorts of things in progress, like lobbying in Canberra as well. So,
correct, yes.
Australian Marriage Equality was consulted, as were a wide range of groups. Look, where do we go to from here? Have you got a plan? What is Australian Marriage Equality going to do? We can't just leave this and go, oh, okay, plebiscite's dead, we'll leave it until the next government.
Oh, David, absolutely not. Now, the plebiscite's not dead yet. And so until the legislation is introduced in the lower house and then voted upon and then introduced in the Senate and voted upon, the legislation is still live. The government will submit it. So the Labor announcing it today is good, but the legislation is live until it is actually voted down in the Senate. So that is the current situation that we're monitoring, what will be happening on that. After the legislation has been voted down in the Senate, we'll continue to liaise with a broad range of LGBTI groups and also to individual MPs in the Liberal Party and the National Party to discuss. Now, the government already has changed its view on superannuation, has changed its view on the level of backpacker tax, and these were supposedly written in concrete policies at the last election. Well, they've changed those policies. So there can be opportunities for common sense to proceed after the Nationals and the Liberals realised that the plebiscite as a plebiscite and the format of the plebiscite were unacceptable to LGBT community.
Yeah. Look, I suppose there's still a long road ahead of us, but,
indeed.
I suppose, I was talking to Terry Butler about whether there was a plan B. I suppose we've just got to see how it plays out.
Well, that's right. And also,
in the theatre that we call our Australian Parliament, of course.
Well, that's right. And also, too, if certain National MPs want a grandstand, that's up to them. But at the same time, Australian marriage equality has been around since 2004, when Howard changed the Marriage Act. Now, we've gone through many prime ministers since then. If we have a different prime minister in the Liberal Party when the legislation gets up, then that's just one of those things.
True. Look, at the moment, we also have Senator Erica Betts on the line from Canberra at the moment. Senator Betts, are you there?
I am indeed. Is that David?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
David.
Great to have you on The Informer and join us on Joy 94.9. Tell us, what does the decision made by the Labor caucus today mean for the marriage equality plebiscite?
Well, in relation to the plebiscite on whether Australia changes the definition of marriage, we will need to wait and see how the numbers pan out in the Senate. But given the public announcement today, one assumes that at least in the short term, the Labor Party won't support a plebiscite. Therefore, the pressure will be on whether the Senator Xenophon group and Senator Hinch might change their mind. But I've been around this place long enough to know that many a time an opposition has indicated that it will vote against something first time round, and then after due consideration, with the elapse of some months, they come round to a different position. But our position as a coalition was very clear that there would be a plebiscite allowing the Australian people to decide on this issue.
Yeah, look, if anybody knows about how the numbers are going to work in the Senate, it would certainly be yourself, Senator Betts. Look, we know that the Prime Minister believes that he has a mandate to take a plebiscite to the Australian people for same-sex marriage, but the opinion polls suggest otherwise. Two out of three people believe that we should just move on with a bill in the lower house and get it approved in the upper house. The opinion polls are suggesting otherwise. Why has the Prime Minister continued to hold on to this plan?
Well, the opinion polls on these matters shift and change on a fairly regular basis, and support for the plebiscite, it would be fair to say, in recent times, according to the polls, has diminished. But I have seen opinion polls, for example, with the Republic, telling us we were going to get a Republic, everybody was in favour of a Republic.
Yeah, I remember it well.
And then when people actually engaged on the issues, it was quite an overwhelming no vote. When you got beyond some of what I considered to be the glib phraseology of the Yes campaign. So, look, do opinion polls interest parliamentarians? Of course they do. Mm. But at the end of the day, having a sense of resolution, a strength of purpose, is also something which the electorate marks up. So, for example, the carbon tax, when Kevin Rudd sought to introduce the emissions trading scheme, he said it was the greatest moral challenge of our time. Then when the opinion polls turned against him, he dumped it, and his opinion poll numbers went down even further. Yeah. And the reason, I think, was that people said, hang on a moment, you said that was your policy. Sure, we as an Australian public disagreed with it, but you're now just junking it for pure political reasons. You know, we don't respect that.
Yeah, but with all due respect, Senator, he didn't say let's have a plebiscite on clean energy bill.
Well, it's the same thing. The policy that you take to the Australian people, and for him, it was that we needed an emissions trading scheme. The Australian people didn't like it. He was slipping in the polls, so he just junked it. And people said, well, what do you believe in? We as a coalition believe in giving the Australian people the opportunity. That is what we took to the Australian people. And we are still hopeful that the Senate may allow the Australian people a say on this important issue.
Look, today is National Coming Out Day. It's a day designed to encourage people that are still a little uncertain about their sexual identity, that they might be received, hopefully, a little bit more comfortably with their identity. Would a no campaign harm these already vulnerable people, do you think?
I don't believe a no campaign, or indeed, for that matter, a yes campaign, would harm people within the community. Any debate within the community should be undertaken in a respectful manner, and we have seen an ugly element of Australian society in relation to your own radio station.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the debate, we have seen the ugliness of Australian society in the trashing of a fellow MP's office. So there are those ugly elements on both sides, no matter what the issue is, and regrettably, people engage in behaviours that are completely unacceptable. But having said that, I have great faith and confidence in the 99.9% recurring of the Australian people who will conduct themselves in a manner that says, irrespective of our views and beliefs, we can have a robust decision, and at the end of the day, you know what? We are all united under the Australian flag as Australians, committed to the well-being of our nation and our society.
Strangely enough, today I bumped into an ex-colleague of yours, or maybe an adversary, ex-Senator Robert Ray. I just see him regularly in day-to-day life. And during the period of John Howard's reign, he changed the Marriage Act. And I remember at the time he did say in 2004 that the Marriage Act should only ever be changed by a Bill of Parliament. How does it change that now? You know, he was the one that changed it in the first place to marriage being between a man and a woman. Why aren't we taking his wisdom and changing the Marriage Act back, as he said, by Parliament?
Change to the Marriage Act did not actually change the definition of marriage, the common law, and as it was understood at the time that the Constitution was drafted and the term marriage was put into the Constitution. I think we can all be agreed that people saw it as a man-woman-children thing, and that is exactly what the second reading speech at the time referred to and talked about. Having said that, the view of the former Prime Minister, I think, is that there shouldn't be a plebiscite, if I understand him correctly, and I hope I don't do him an injustice, that he does not believe in a plebiscite on this matter, and that is a perfectly respectable opinion, just as much as it is, for there to be a plebiscite.
Now, we expect also that groups will keep pressure on the government if the plebiscite is voted down in the upper house, and they're going to keep the pressure to have a bill passed or a free vote, certainly in the House of Reps, because it could possibly easily pass through the Senate, to allow same-sex marriage. This is going to continue, this sort of pressure, and you know what it's like in Parliament and in government. It's going to starve the government of oxygen and space that it needs to be able to talk about their other programs. So does the government have a plan B at all?
Well, as far as the government is concerned, we have said time and time again that getting rid of trade union corruption and big business corruption in the construction sector is an important task that we have set ourselves with the Australian Building and Construction Commission. Getting the budget back into shape, economic repair, getting our free trade agreements underway and locking them down, all those things are what the government has been doing, and if I might say with respect, sure, we can do the odd radio interview, but there seems to be a lot more interest in this issue amongst the media as opposed to the general public. The vast majority of the inquiries I get are about the bread and butter issues of everyday Australians.
Sure, but what I mean is that, you know, while these other machinations of government continue on, there is still going to be groups continuing to lobby, and they'll also be taking time away from the government to continue with its message of what it wants to do in reform. They will keep on talking about same-sex marriage, and that will starve the government. Surely the government is looking for another way to, you know, if the plebiscite is voted down, surely they're looking for another way to get this off the agenda.
Well, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case these days. I'm a backbencher, so I'm not privy to what the internal thinking is of the Prime Minister and the Cabinet at this stage. But as I understand the situation, the position has been put that if the plebiscite doesn't get up, that means for this term of Parliament, the matter will not be reconsidered. And we will simply get on with the issues of the economy, of free trade, of developing Northern Australia, our getting our Smarter Cities plan underway, which is a special and, might I say, very good pet project of the Prime Minister, making sure that our cities are more livable. We will get on with those sort of policies, implement them, deliver them, and then come the 2019 election, the Australian people will judge us on the basis of how we have manage the economy, manage the government of Australia in circumstances where, as you and I both know, the margin is particularly slim in the House of Representatives, and we don't have a majority in the Senate.
Yeah, it's a long time till the next election. You know, the mandate was possibly the wrong word to use when the Liberal Party did lose 15 seats in the last election. But look, you know, it's we really appreciate you being on Joy 94.9. We look forward to talking to you again in the future. Thank you very much, Senator Erica Betts, for being on The Informer tonight.
And thanks for the opportunity. All the best.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.